Today's shiur is Masechet Gittin Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. In the previous shiur, we had learned that there was a contradiction between two brises regarding somebody who brings a get in a boat. If does b'fanei nechtam have to be said, or does it not have to be said? And the Gemara in the previous shiur assumed that the two brises were both referring to a get written on a river in Eretz Yisrael, and it represented a machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonim. The Gemara now says a different teretz. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, ben Nahoris Eretz Yisrael, if a get was written in one of the rivers in Eretz Yisrael, to Kula Amalei Pligi, there would be no disagreement that b'fanei nechtav does not have to be said. El Kli Pligi, what is the machloikus that we're going to discuss refer to? What is the machloikus in this price refer to? B'yam HaGadol. Regarding a get written on the Yam HaGadol, on the Mediterranean Sea. And as we begin our shir, we review a concept that we have discussed previously. We know that Klal Yisrael came to Yisrael twice. One is what is known as the Oile Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua, that's called the Oile Mitzrayim. And the second time was the Oile Bavel, when Ezra brought Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. The halacha also is Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shata V'Lai Kitcha L'Asadlovai. That first time that they came to Eretz Yisrael is not considered a permanent Kedusha. Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha that they received when they came to Eretz Yisrael the second time, is considered Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asadlovai, is indeed considered permanent. However, the Torah does give very distinct borders to Eretz Yisrael. The northern border of Eretz Yisrael is what is known as Harahor or Turei Amnon. Torah calls it Turei Amnon. In fact, we are familiar with Harahor. Harahor is the place where Aaron was buried, Aaron HaKohen, and the Mefarshim explained that that is why indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Aaron on the Harahor, so he should serve as a protector for Klal Yisrael on its northern border. Furthermore, as we said, that area has two names. Actually, in our shiur, we'll find that it has maybe even three names. And the other name it's called Turei Amnon. The Mefarshim explained, because the Torah says regarding the death of Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu, Yan loy hamantem b'legdisheni, you did not have the proper emuna to create a Kiddush Hashem. We know that instead of speaking to the stone, they hit the stone. So one would chas v'sholem be concerned that Aaron was not a real maimon, emunah shleima in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was buried in a place that's called Turei Amnon, emunah. Aaron was certainly the maimon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Ezo Eretz ve'ezo chutzlarz. The Braisa in describing what is Eretz Yisrael and what is Chutzlarts. So we will learn the Gemara as Rashi explains the Gemara. Kol sheshapei v'yorei b'turei amnum ufnim Eretz Yisrael. Turei amnum, as Rashi explains, is the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara is saying that anything that is south of the Turei amnum is Eretz Yisrael. M'turei amnum l'chutz, anything that is north of Turei Amnon is going to be considered Chutzlarts. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos seems to want to learn that the Gemara is referring to not a north and south border, but more regarding a west and east border. But as we said, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi explains it. The border of Eretz Yisrael on the south is Nachal Mitzrayim, which the Mefarshim say is actually what is today known as El Arish. However, the line that one would draw from Turei Amnon down to Nachal Mitzrayim is not a straight line. It goes on a curve, it goes on a slant, and actually that slant incorporates part of the Yam HaGadol, part of the Mediterranean Sea. And therefore, say the Rabbanan, Hagasin Shebiyam, regarding islands in the Mediterranean Sea, Roinan so, Kil Chut Mo'echaleim, as if there's a cord going from north to south, Meturi Amnon at Nachal Mitzrayim, Turei Amnon in the north, Nachal Mitzrayim in the south, and Menachot Lefnim, when we draw this imaginary line, anything to the right of that line is Eretz Yisrael. Menachot Ulechutz, anything that is to the left of that line is Chutz Laretz. And the determination of the islands in the Mediterranean Sea will be determined that way, the right or the left of that cord. I saw Rav Chaim Knievsky discusses what will be the halacha if there is an island that part of it is to the right of that cord and part of it is to the left of that cord. What will be the halacha? So is it all Eretz Yisrael? Is it all Chutz Laretz? Rav Chaim Knievsky says that that island, we would say anything in the island that's to the right of the cord is Eretz Yisrael. Anything in the island that's to the left of the cord, it's all one island, but it would be Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda holds Kol Shekeneged Eretz Yisrael Harei Ketz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as we have learned, the northern border of Eretz Yisrael is Turei Amnon. The southern border of Eretz Yisrael is Nachal Mitzrayim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, we draw a line to the west, to the left. With the top of, we draw two lines. One line is the northern border, and one line is the southern border. And that line continues all the way deep into the Mediterranean Sea. And all that area is considered Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I saw the Levush Matre quotes the Karen Ladovid, who quotes the Chassam Sofer, that says that following Rabbi Yehuda's line of reasoning, Eretz Yisrael is very far, and that England would be included, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as being part of Eretz Yisrael. I saw the Sharmat Tzion Balacha says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the border only extends to Gibraltar, but certainly it's quite a distance. Tosfos asks, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eretz Yisrael is so far, how come we don't find that we treat all of these islands and all of the area that deep into the Mediterranean Sea as Eretz Yisrael? So Tosfos has a number of answers. One answer is that we don't paskin, we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Another teretz is that even Rabbi Yehuda only refers to islands. Those islands in that distinct area, Rabbi Yehuda would consider Eretz Yisrael. But land masses, he would agree, are not considered Eretz Yisrael. And yet a third pshat, going back to our introductory remarks to today's shir, these borders that we are now describing are the borders of the Oile Mitzrayim. And as we said at the beginning of the shir, Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shata V'loi Kitcha L'Asad Lavai, those don't remain the permanent areas that are considered Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree we don't give those areas the din of Eretz Yisrael. The Mefarshim go on to explain, the Gra explains, why does Rabbi Yehuda consider such a deep area to be considered Eretz Yisrael? And he explains because if Eretz Yisrael is considered so holy, because that is from where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, certainly the Yam, which was created before the earth, before Eretz Yisrael was created, has a high level of Kedusha, and therefore it's all incorporated in the same Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara explains from where does Rabbi Yehuda take his position. Because the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda quotes the Pasuk, Shnema Gvoya, when we speak about the border on the west side by the Mediterranean Sea, V'hoyelachem hayom agadol, u'gvol zeh yelachem gvoya. And the question is, why does the Pasuk have to use the word gvol twice? To teach us, Ha'adnasen Shebetzadim, the islands to the west of Eretz Yisrael, right aside, we kilim chut masuch aleim mikfloria at Yom Kainis. And now the Gemara gives us a third name for the northern border, Kefloria. We make a line going, we draw an imaginary cord from Kefloria to the left, and then we draw another imaginary line till the Atlantic Ocean, the Yom Kainis. We draw another imaginary line at the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, Menachem Mitzrayim ad Yam Kainis, and Menachot Ulfnim, anything that is between these two lines, the line that we drew from Kefloria to the left, the line that we drew from Menachem Mitzrayim to the left, is all included in Eretz Yisrael. Anything above that line or below that line, Menachot Ulfnim, will be considered Chutzlarts. So now we have a very fundamental machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, which is relevant to our understanding the two brises. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Eretz Yisrael goes very deep into the Mediterranean Sea, and therefore anyone who wrote a get in that deep area, as the brisa says, will not have to say Befani Nechtem, Befani Nechtem. According to Rabbanan, it's a much shorter area, and there will be a need to say Befani Nechtem, Befani Nechtem much quicker. We now begin, ask the Gemara of Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon, Hai Ugvul, my Avdilei, what do they use the word Ugvul? We explained that according to Behuda, there was a superfluous Gvul to teach us this din about the taking Eretz Yisrael deep into the Mediterranean Sea. What do they use the word Gvul to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Mabailei Lagasin. They use it to teach us that the islands, as when we learned the opinion of the Rabbanon, there's that line going from Tori Amnon to Nachum Mitzrayim, that imaginary line we drew on the slant, to teach us that all of the islands to the right of that imaginary line are considered Eretz Yisrael. So I saw that Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked, it's only the islands that the Pasuk is teaching us, according to Rabbanon, in that area of the Mediterranean Sea are considered Eretz Yisrael. But the Yam itself is not Eretz Yisrael. So if somebody, there are many people that are makbid, that are careful not to leave Eretz Yisrael. So how can one go swimming in the ocean, in the Mediterranean Sea, as soon as he goes into the water, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael? So Chaim Kanievsky says that certainly any area that is where people swim when they go to the beach is not considered Yam. That is considered an extension of the Yabosha. And since it's considered an extension of the Yabosha, so it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael, and one, even if he doesn't leave Eretz Yisrael, may go to that place. Rabbi Yehuda, who used that gvul to teach us how we go so deep into the Mediterranean Sea to be considered Eretz Yisrael, Nasin, to teach us that the islands of an area that is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, for that I don't need Leitzrich Krof, for that we don't need a Pasuk. So now we begin the sugya of Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush. David HaMelech captured an area called Syria. Most Mefarshim explain it's what we know as Syria. And David HaMelech captured it as a Kibush Yochid. There's a fundamental machloikus Rishonim. What makes something be considered a Kibush Yochid? Rashi says that unlike Eretz Yisrael, which Yeshua captured, with all of Klal Yisrael participating in capturing that area, Syria represents an area that David with his private army captured. Tosfos disagrees. Taisus says that the problem with the capture of Surya is that Surya was an area that David HaMelech captured before all of Eretz Yisrael was captured. And as Taisus quotes the Medrash that says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, Esa Yevusi, Somach Lepatn Shecha Lo Yerashta, the Yevusim that live right next to your palace, you have not yet captured. Hecha Techoizer U'mechabish Aram Narayim V'Aram Tzoyva. How are you going to take further private conquests? In fact, I saw Rav Zolti says that this is to be explained homiletically. B'paltrin shalcha, we first have the obligation to capture what is in our own backyard before we go on to try to capture, before we go on to try to influence people that are further from us, that are not in our own paltrin. And there's a question of kibush yochid, if this area that was caught, that was captured in this way, shmei kibush or lo shmei kibush, is it considered part of Eretz Yisrael or is it not considered part of Eretz Yisrael? I saw another pshat, kibush yochid, shmei kibush, lo shmei kibush, also to be explained, so to speak, homiletically. Kibush yochid, if someone is only concerned about yochid, about himself, lo shmei kibush, he hasn't accomplished what he's supposed to accomplish. A person has to be concerned about others, not just about himself, not just about the kibush yochid. So as we said, Taisus says that the issue with an area that does a kibush yochid is that David HaMelech caught it, captured these areas not following the proper order. Really supposed to, he should have first captured Eretz Yisrael proper. The Chasam Sofer asks that if that is the definition of a kibush yochid, why is it called kibush yochid? According to Rashi's explanation that it was David HaMelech's private conquest, we could understand the terminology of kibush yochid. But according to Taisus, what's the word in kibush yochid? So Chasam Sofer answers that part of the error that David HaMelech made was that he did not consult with the Urim V'Tumim. Had he consulted with the Urim V'Tumim would have told him, don't go capture Eretz Yisrael, don't go capture Surya before you capture Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's called a kibush yochid. He did it on his own without, so to speak, consulting, without the proper consultation. The Migdash David asks, if that's the concern with a kibush yochid, so why, when ultimately Klal Yisrael did capture all of Eretz Yisrael, don't we say that now even Surya certainly should be considered part of Eretz Yisrael? So the Chazon Ish says the answer is because Klal Yisrael really never finished capturing all of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the claim that we say we have against David, that why you go conquer areas outside of Eretz Yisrael, still remains. The Migdash David answers that an area can be designated Eretz Yisrael only at the moment of conquer, at the moment of conquest. If at the moment of conquest it can't, it's not Eretz Yisrael because we're holding kibush yochid lo shmei kibush, later on it's too late for it to obtain that status of Eretz Yisrael. But then I saw that the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer ask a very fundamental question. We have been discussing the difference between the area between kibush of Oile Mitzrayim and the kibush of Oile Bavel, and we were saying that the area that was captured by the Oile Mitzrayim really never had the din of Eretz Yisrael. So Surya, this area of kibush yochid, should certainly not be any different than the area captured by the Oile Mitzrayim. So why are we going to now begin learning a sugya of kibush yochid? It should be no different than the area that was caught by the Oile Mitzrayim, says the Chazon Ish. This issue of kitcher rishon and kitcher l'shato or not kitcher l'shato is only in an area where there was a proper conquest, a kibush of Oile Mitzrayim. But an area that never had the proper conquest, it only had the kibush yochid, if it's considered Shmei Kibush, it will be even a higher level than Eretz Yisrael, and will remain kadosh like Eretz Yisrael forever. The halacha is that if somebody sells an Eved Kanani, somebody in Eretz Yisrael owns an Eved Kanani, and he sells it to someone from Chutz Laaretz, since we don't want Avodim to leave Eretz Yisrael, one pshat is because, as we're going to learn on the Beis, there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael that applies to Avodim, and not only does it apply to Avodim, it even applies, if it applies to Avodim, it will also apply to women, because we know that Avodim and women have the same status regarding mitzvahs, asay. Therefore, the halacha is that if one sells an Eved from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, he is automatically freed. Others explain that the reason one sells an Eved to Chutz Laaretz, he's automatically free, is because he can't fulfill the mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz like he could fulfill them in Eretz Yisrael. Others explain, because as we're going to learn at great length, the Chazal were geyser that Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz is Tameh, and therefore by selling an Eved to an area that's Tameh, the Eved goes free. So now ask the Gemara. If somebody sells his Eved to Surya, is it Kamaika Chutz Laaretz Tameh and he goes free at the loss of the buyer? Eloi. Well, it's not. We have a raya from our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, the Ramea says, Akku Eretz Yisrael Gittin, that Akku is considered like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin. And the Deek is, Legittinin, as far as Gittin are concerned, one writes a get in Akkoi doesn't have to say before and after before and after. Lavodim loy, but not as far as Avodim, that it's considered, that there it's considered like he sold the Eved to Chutz Laaretz. The Koshke in Surya, so certainly Surya, the Machik of a Tuva, which is further away, certainly if somebody sells an Eved to Surya, it's like he sold him to Chutz Laaretz, and the Eved is freed. So as we learned on the Beis Amin Aleph, we explain, all Rishonim seem to agree, that half of Akkoi is in Eretz Yisrael, and half in Akkoi is Chutz Laaretz. And Tosfos explains that the Raya of our Gemara is from the half that is in Eretz Yisrael. That even though Akkoi, that half, is in Eretz Yisrael, still the halacha is that it's only considered Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin, not as far as Avodim. Certainly Surya, which is not Eretz Yisrael proper, as far as Avodim is concerned, cannot be considered like Eretz Yisrael. And that's Tosfos' proof that our sugyas, going back to the Mishnah, the Beis Amin Aleph, are talking about the half of Akkoi in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi, however, learns that we're referring to the half that is in Chutz Laaretz, which leads Tosfos to ask a question on Rashi. How can we bring a raya from the half of Akkoi, which is in Chutz Laaretz, to Surya, which may not be Eretz Yisrael, but at least it's an area that had a kibush yochid? So Ritva, in answer to this question, says that even if we hold that Akkoi is not Eretz Yisrael, Akkoi was also an area where there was a kibush yochid. And therefore the Gemara's raya is excellent. If Akkoi, which is an area that had a kibush yochid, and is closer to Eretz Yisrael, still an Eved may not be sold there, certainly Surya, which also is an area of kibush yochid, but it's further, somebody sells an Eved there, the Eved is freed. Rashmu Rizovsky explains Rashi's opinion by saying that Rashi will hold that the half of Akkoi that is not Eretz Yisrael is treated like Eretz Yisrael midrabbonin, like Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara's Raya is if that half which is treated like Eretz Yisrael is only treated like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin, certainly not for Avodim, Surya, certainly, which is not next to Eretz Yisrael, should not be treated like Eretz Yisrael regarding Avodim. So the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa that discusses Surya. We're going to learn the Braisa and not go into every din of the Braisa. We'll go into the actual dinim when we learn the dinim as they're explained in the Gemara on the base. Tanabar, Bishlash Drachim, Shafs Surah at Yisrael, and three ways Surah Yisimant at Yisrael, or Bishlash in three ways to Chutzlarts. Simon Abar Bar Rak. Afri Tomek Chutzlarts. The offer of Surah is Tomei like Chutzlarts. Hamoicha Avdil Surah Kamoicha Bechutzlarts, as we just learned. If somebody sells an Ever to Chutz Surah, it's considered like he sold it to Chutzlarts. The Hamevi get Mesuria, Kamevi Mechutz Loritz, and Befani Nechta must be said. Ubishloish let Yisrael, and three ways Surya similar to Yisrael. Chayevis B'maisa B'Shvius B'Eret Yisrael. There's a Chiv of Maisa and Shvius like Eret Yisrael. The Rinfarshim ask, why is this necessarily a proof that Surya is like Eret Yisrael? Perhaps we should say that this is only a Din the Rabbonon. So Rinfarshim say the fact that the Braisa uses the word Chayevis seems to indicate that the chiv is a chiv doraisa. Haroitz lekanes labatara nichnis. Somebody has the ability to enter Surya and remain tor. Vakoina sada b'Surya. If somebody buys a field in Surya, es kikoina bepravra Yerushalayim. It's as if he bought it in Yerushalayim. Chazanish uses this line of the Braisa to prove what we quoted from him earlier. Why is he specifically comparing Surya to Yerushalayim? Because just like Yerushalayim is an area that remains Kodesh forever, the Kedusha Rishayna was on Yerushalayim, the Kedusha Shniya is in Yerushalayim, Surya, whatever status Surya has, that status did not change between Oilei Mitzrayim and Oilei Bavel. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa that said, Chayevis B'Maisa, the Gemara now begins to explain the Braisa. Chayevis B'Maisa B'Shvi'is Keret Yisrael, because Kesover, this Braisa obviously holds, Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush. The Braisa also said, one of the ways Surya is similar to Keret Yisrael, because Haroitz L'Konis B'Tahara Nichnas. Somebody want to enter Surya B'Tahara, may. Before we explain what the Gemara means, we need to give a few words of introduction. Chazal were geyser. Chazal decreed that the Eretz Amim, that the foreign lands, should be tamei. The reason Chazal made that say is a machlokes rishonim. Some explain because in Chutz La'aretz they weren't careful to mark where they bury the dead properly, and therefore there's a concern wherever you're walking in Chutz La'aretz, you may be walking on an area that there's a person who died buried there. Another explanation is that when there was the Mabul, so the entire world was turned over and people died and those people were buried underground, and therefore everywhere we walk there's always a concern that there's a mace underground. Besides in Eretz Yisrael, where in Eretz Yisrael the Mabul did not take effect, and therefore we don't have that concern. There were three stages in this takana that Chazal made, that Eretz Amim Atame. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos says that the first gzeira was made by Yosi ben Yezer ish Tzreida, the Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, that wherever someone walks in Eretz Amim, he has to be concerned that he walked on top of Tumas Meis. The second stage was 80 years before the Churban, when Chazal made a gzeira that the Avir Eretz Amim, that there's a concern that even the airspace of the Eretz Amim is Tameh. Familiarize ourselves with some terminology. The Tuma on the earth of Eretz Amim is called Tumas Gusha. The Tuma on the airspace is called Tumas Avir. A number of years after the Churban, when Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, Chazal made a new gzeira that when one walks on the Eretz Amim, he's not Tomei Misafek, maybe he came into contact with a mace, rather it's a Tuma Vadai, and anybody who touches the Afar Eretz Amim is considered Tomei. The Tuma on the Avir was the same Tuma that was decreed earlier. So says the Gemara, Haroitza Likonis Labatara, the Braisa said that somebody wants to be able to enter the airspace of Surya Nichnas has an ability. Ask the Gemara, how is that possible? We learned earlier in this very Braisa, V'amrit Afra Tamei, that all of the offer of Surya is Tamei. So how is it possible to be able to do this? Answers the Gemara, B'Sheda Teva Migdal. It's referring to a situation where somebody entered the Surya in a very large box. The halacha is that if someone is mahal, if somebody hovers over a mace, he's tamei, tamei oil. However, there is a way of creating a chatzitza. There is a way of creating a barrier to that tumah. And that is if someone has a barrier between him and the tumah made of something that is not mekabel tumah. The best example that I could give is, let's say that somebody, there's a mace in a house, Rachmana Litzlan, and there's a person who is on the roof of that house. Since, as we know, houses are not mekabel tumah, therefore, if somebody's on the roof of that house, he will not be tumah, because that roof serves as a barrier between him and the tumah. Here, the Gemara says that someone who enters Surya, if he enters it in a Sheda Teva Migdal, which is a very large box, and a very large box is not Mekabel Tumah, if the box is more than 40 saw, the halacha is, the Gemara is suggesting, that's a way of someone to prevent himself from becoming Tumah. And that's what the Gemara says. That he entered in a Sheda Teva Migdal in this very large box, which is not Mekabel Tumah. The Tanya, because the Braisa says, Hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'Sheda Teva Migdal, somebody who enters into one of the lands in a Sheda Teva Migdal, we have a Machloikis, Rameya and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Matame. Rabbi says that he's Tame, because Rabbi holds that even though a large box, as we said a moment ago, should be considered something that's not Mekabel Tumah. And since it's considered something that's not Mekabel Tumah, it should be considered something that should serve as a barrier. The halacha is that oil zorik, something that's a movable box, loishmei oil, the Gemara is saying now, is not considered a barrier, according to Rabbi, and therefore the person will be considered Tumah. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda disagrees, Metahar. Because Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is of the opinion that an oil zorik, shmei oil, and it could serve as a barrier. Says the Gemara, Afila Rabbi Loikam Matamei El Baret Tzamim. And as Tosfos explains, this Braisa, we have clear proof, must be following the opinion of Rabbi. Because according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, there's nothing special about Surya. If the Braisa is mentioning something special about Surya, it must be that the Brice is following the opinion of Rebbe and telling us that even though Rebbe normally holds that Eretz Amim, that entering in a Sheda Teva Migdal is not considered a sufficient barrier, that's only in all the other Eretz Amim, the Gozru al Gusha v'al Avira, where there was a Gzera that the Gusha and the Avira of these areas are Tamei. However, Ava Surya, regarding Surya, Al Gusha Gazru, they made a Gzera that the Gusha, that the earth of Syria remains Tamei, and therefore anybody who stepped on the earth of Syria will be Tamei, Al Avira, however, Al Avira Lai Gazru. And here we have a very fundamental discussion amongst the Rishonim in trying to understand the Gzera on the Avir of Eretz Amin. Some Rishonim suggest that the Gzera on the Avir Eretz Amin was a very specific Gzera, only said on the Avir, a new Gzera. The Chazal said that the Avir of Eretz Amin should be Tamei, and that Gzera wasn't made regarding Surya. And the Farshim give a very excellent explanation helping us understand that. They say that it was a special gzeira that was made to try to help us avoid being in Eretz Amim. And in Surya, Chazal were not that concerned that we should be exposed to Surya. It is an area of Kibush Yochid. And therefore the halach is that in Surya we are allowed to go in that area. That's how some Rishonim learn. However, there are other Rishonim that explain that the reason Chazal made a gzeira on the Avir of the Eretz Amim is because the Avir of the Eretz Amim hovers over the Gush of the Eretz Amim. And the Gush of the Eretz Amim, as we have been learning and explaining, is an area that's considered Tameh because there's Mesim buried there. So how will we explain the distinction between the Avir of Surya versus the Gush of Surya? So if the Gush of Surya was saying we're concerned there are Mesim there, shouldn't we say the same regarding the Avir? So we have to explain that this entire concept is only a gzeira de Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan only made a gzeira on this far in Surya. They did not expand the gzeira any further. Continued the Brayson teaching us that koinah sod b'Surya, if somebody buys a field in Surya, it's kekoinah b'pravar Yerushalayim. It's like bought a field in Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, lamai hilchasa. What do we need to know this lahalocha? Omrav Sheshes, loy mishakoyson of oinah v'fil b'Shabbos. The lesson here is to teach us that we can write, we're so anxious to be able to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, that therefore even on Shabbos, such a document may be written by a goy. Even though normally the halacha is one may not ask a goy to do melacha on our behalf on Shabbos. And there's two sources for this halacha. Rashi explains because the pasuk says mimtzach chavtzacha v'dabe dover dibur zoser, something we're not allowed to do, we're not allowed to even ask someone else to do on our behalf on Shabbos. Another reason is because when we ask a guy to do malach on our behalf, it's like we're asking the guy to be a shliach to do something that we're not allowed to do ourselves. The stipler, the Avdi Nezer, say actually we need both limudim, because they explain Dabur Dover teaches us that we're not allowed to ask a guy to do something on Shabbos, for even if we're asking him to do it on Matzoy Shabbos, when it's no longer a malacha. And the concept of shlichus teaches us that we're not allowed to ask a goy to do something for us on Friday to do it for us on Shabbos. So one may not ask a goy to do malacha on our behalf. However, when it comes to buying land in Eretz Yisrael, then the halacha is that one may ask a goy to write the deed on Shabbos. There's a machloikus achroinim. How far does this go? Some achroinim say that even if I haven't yet bought the property, included in the het of the Gemara is the actual kinyan, the actual purchase of the property. Other achroinim disagree, and they say that only if I already bought the property before Shabbos, and I want to be able to conclude the deal, I could ask a guy to write this deed on Shabbos. Also, there's a machloikis. Is this heter only said when there's a concern that if the deed won't be written on Shabbos, the deal will fall through, the guy is going away, or the guy may change his mind? Or is the heter of the Gemara under all circumstances that the Gemara is saying we're allowed to ask a guy to do it? For as the Gemara says, Shabbos, Sagadaitach, can we write it? Just like Rava teaches us regarding if somebody's sick, chas v'shalom, he could ask a guy to do malach of him under, even if he's a cholish ain by sakana. Even though normally we're not allowed to ask a guy to do malach on our behalf, and we ask the guy, even though it involves the malach. There's machloikis, tashbats, and rivosh. How far does this have to go? Tashbat says that if our Gemara is teaching us the tremendous heter of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the heter, says the Tashbatz, will even apply if somebody wants to be oiler, wants to go live in Israel, he's allowed to be over a shvus in order to make aliyah. The Rivash says it's only regarding writing a deed. And the Mefarshim explained the opinion of the Rivash by saying, because writing a deed takes this property, which was till now in the hands of non-Jews, and brings it into the hand of Jews. So we're expanding the land of Eretz Yisrael. Only that is permissible in Eretz Yisrael. That is permissible on Shabbos through a goy. But anything else that doesn't involve the actual annexation of land to Eretz Yisrael, to give it the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, would not be permitted. There's a very big machloikus Rishonim, how to understand the het of this Gemara. Most Rishonim explain that here the goy is doing a malacha deraisa, writing, but because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, malacha is mutter. Dor Zerua says no, that here the malacha the goy is doing is only a malacha derabbanan, because the malacha writing, not in Lashon HaKodesh, says Dor Zerua, is only derabbanan. So the goy is doing a shvus to shvus, a goy doing malacha, and the malacha is only drabonon, and only that is mutter on Shabbos mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But as the Bi Halacha, and as I said, most pious can disagree, mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, one shvus, a goy doing malacha deraisa, because they hold that any writing in any language is an issa deraisa. What about doing a malacha? What is permissible for a goy to do for a mitzvah on Shabbos? So as we're learning, most Rishonim learn only for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael may a goy do a malacha deraisa. Of course, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh. B'makom mitzvah or b'makom hefsid, shvus the shvus is mutter. A shvus the shvus means a goy doing a malacha derabbanan. And in this, we also find a machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that a shvus to shvus is always mutter b'makom mitzvah. Others say that shvus to shvus is only mutter b'makom mitzvah, where it's a mitzvah that's toich Shabbos. That means if somebody is sick, so the halacha is that we know Shabbos is nitcha. If a milah has to be done, so we know Shabbos is nitcha. That's when shvus to shvus is mutter. But again, as I said, we hold that a shvus to shvus is mutter always b'makom mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan. The halacha is just like a shtar is written to free when a woman is divorced, so too is a shtar written when a eved is freed. So eved shevi gita, an eved brought a shtar that says that he's freed, and the shtar says in the kosboy atzmach on the chasai knuyelok, you yourself and all my possessions are acquired by you. And if an eved brings the get, the halacha is just like when an isha brings her get, and just like when a woman brings the get, and she says b'fani nechdam, we accept the get. The question here is, the way Rashi Kivega explains Rashi, here we're again referring to a situation where the eved is not to be freed until he arrives in Beis Din, and he arrives with this shtar, and he says b'fani nechdam, and the question is, do we trust it or not? So the Gemara says atzma kanoi nechosim lekana. Since there are two distinct statements here, there's one statement regarding atzmai, there's another statement regarding the nechosim. So regarding atzmai, he's believed with the old lomdus that we've been explaining, that b'fani nechtam gives the person that namonis, but not regarding the nechosim. Iboy lehu. Now the question is, where there weren't two statements, there was only one statement. It says kol nechosai knoyloch. So you can't separate into two statements of atzmai and nechosim. Mahu, what is going to be the halacha? Amar Abaye, so Abaye is b'toch shekana atzmai. He's believed regarding himself, and since the nechosim are one statement with himself, kana nechosim. Amalei Rava says Rava bishlam atzma liknei. I can understand why regarding himself he's believed. Midat ava get isha, just like we learned regarding a get, that if a woman brings her own get, she's believed when she says that she believed that she's divorced by her saying b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam. El nechasim loylitni midat havakim shtaras ba'alma. If somebody brings a shtar, he has to have kiyum, otherwise he won't be believed. And here the Rishonim bring a proof that every shtar that refers to a financial matter requires kiyum, because we're not referring here to a situation where there was error, yet kiyum is required. Hadam Abaya. Then Abaya said, "Metarsh lekana nechasim." He's not kana nechasim lekana atzmai. Amalei Rava. Now Rava says to Abaya, "Bishlam nechasim loy nikni." I agree that the nechasim, because midah the hava kim shtaros ba'alma. Ela atzma likni, he should be able to be kind himself. Midah the hava get isha, just like the woman is believed. Ela merova echad zeh vechad zeh, both regarding, in both cases, where it's written in two statements, atzmach v'nechasai, or it's written in one statement, akol k'nosai, atzmach kanim t'chasim l'kana. And the reason Rava says it, as we will discuss more in tomorrow's shir, is because we say, palginon debura, and we believe him regarding himself, and we don't believe him regarding the nechasim. Abaya doesn't subscribe to the concept of palgin and debura. And as Tosfos and the Achronim explain, it's not Hadram Abaya that Abaya agreed to Rava. Rather, the way to understand the Gemara is that Abaya never held of palgin and debura. At the beginning, Abaya wanted to say, there's two ways I saw in the Achronim to explain the Gemara. At the beginning, Abaya wanted to say, we're going to believe the Eved regarding himself, just like we said regarding a woman, Mishimiguna Kilar Rabbanon. We're going to say a similar concept regarding the Eved. And once we believe him regarding himself, we also should believe him regarding the Nechasim. And then Abaya said, no, if there's no Iguna regarding the Nechasim, we can't believe him regarding the Nechasim. That's one way of explaining the Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara is that at the beginning, Abaya thought that the main purpose of this Eved statement is regarding himself. And regarding himself, he's believed. And once he's believed regarding himself, the Nechasim, which are the secondary issue, he's also believed. Then the Gemara says, no. Abaya says, it could well be that the main purpose of his statement is regarding Atzmai, is regarding Nechasim, to which he has no nemanis. And since he doesn't have nemanis to the primary statement, he won't have nemanis to the secondary statement either.